If you have your Bible this morning, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. I want to talk to you about purposeful living, living with a purpose. And I think we might also add to that kind of a, taking it in context, we need to stop making excuses. Amen? You know, it's amazing to me that, the last two Sundays we've had such good attendance and I got spoiled. Reality has set in today. But I guess folks think sometimes that they come two or three Sundays in a row, they deserve a break, you know. and whether they deserve it or not, they take it. Amen? Now, I know everybody needs some time off, and I don't have a problem with that. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Or he has prepared in advance for us to do this particular work. And then in John chapter 17, verse 4, it says, I have glorified thee on the earth. That is Jesus in his prayer. I have finished the work that thou gavest me to do. In other words, I have brought you glory by completing the work you gave me to do, and that to the last detail. I think all of us understand, whether we put it into practice or not, I don't know, but you were put on earth to make a contribution. You were not created just to consume resources. That is to eat, to breathe, to take up space. God designed that every one of us would make a difference with our life. There are a lot of best-selling books that offer advice on how to get the very most out of life. But that's not the reason that God made you. You and I were created to add to life on earth, not just take from it. And God wants us to give something back, and this is his purpose for the life that he has given us. God wants us to be able to give back, and we give back by serving others. Why were we created? You were created to serve God. The Bible said God has created us for a life of good works or good deeds, which he has already prepared for us to do. Now, these good deeds are your service to the Lord. And whenever you serve others in any way, you're actually serving God. He said, when you do it to the least of these, you're doing it unto me. In Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, Jeremiah is telling us what God has said, before I made you in your mother's womb, I chose you. Before you were born, I set you apart for a special work. I believe what he said in the book of Jeremiah is equally true to you and I that live today. God has chosen us for a special work that he wants us to do. We have been set apart and placed on this planet Earth in order to make a difference for the cause of Christ. The Bible teaches that we're saved to serve God. It says, it is he who saved us and chose us for his holy work, not because we deserved it, but because that was his plan. God has a plan for this world. He has a plan for your life. And he wants all of us to fulfill that plan and bring honor and glory to him and build his kingdom in the process. God redeemed you so that you could do his holy work. You're not saved by service, but you are saved for service. God intends that when we come in, that we get filled up like a filling station. And when we go out to serve. It kind of reminds me of the time change when the lady came in when the service was over. She didn't set her clock up, and she came to the door, and the usher met her, and she said, "Is service over?" And the good usher said, "No, the service or the worship is over, but the service is just beginning." And so when you go out to serve and make a difference for the cause of Christ. Aren't you glad this morning that somebody took that literally and somebody came to you and somebody was concerned about you and reached out and was God's arm to bring you into the house of God, into salvation? Aren't you glad of that this morning? God redeemed you and me so that we could do His holy work. You're not saved just to, by service, but you're saved for service. And this gives our life significance and value. Well, it cost Jesus, in order to purchase your salvation, it cost Him His life. The Bible reminds us God paid a great price for you. In fact, the scripture says, "For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body." He paid a tremendous price for your salvation. He died on the cross for you. Brethren, when you stop and you think of the payment that was made for you, and He would have died just for you, if you were the only person on the face of the earth, that tells you how important you are to God. Aren't you glad of that, that you are important to God and that He sent His Son to die upon the cross of Calvary that you might be redeemed from your sins? You see, through salvation, our past has been forgiven, our present is given meaning, and our future is secure in Him. In light of these incredible benefits, Paul concluded that because of God's grace, we are to offer ourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. Now, the Apostle John taught us that our loving service to others show that we're really saved. If you say you love Him and you're a child of God and you never serve, and you never reach out and let God use you to make a difference in the lives of others, how does the world know? If we are living epistles read of all men, they've got to be able to see Christ in our life for what we do and what we say. God help us that we might be visible as Christians to the world. The Apostle John taught us about loving service, and it does show that we're truly saved. He said our love for each other proves that we have passed from death to life. Loving the brethren is a key that helps to denote that we are children of God. If you don't love one another, and if you're not forgiving of one another, how in this world are you going to make a difference with the lost world? You know, what John said is true about this church. There is a love one for another here. But brethren, that love needs to reach outside the four walls of this church, and we need to love others into the family of God. You're God's representative. You're the one that God has given the responsibility to reach out and make a difference in the lives of other people. And that's something that all of us can do. Another term for serving God that a lot of folks misunderstand is this word ministry. You see, sometimes we equate service with being our ministers as being pastors and professional clergy, but God says every member of His family is a minister. In the Bible, the word servant and minister are synonyms, as are the words service and ministry. So it simply says, if you are a Christian, you are a minister, and when you are serving, you're ministering. You see, every one of us need to understand that we may not be ordained, we may not be a pastor, we may not be a missionary, but I am a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. I have the good news that brings life and cancels out eternal death. Wow. When Peter's sick mother-in-law was healed by Jesus, she instantly stood up and began to serve Jesus Christ using her gift of health. What the Bible is telling us is that we are blessed to be a blessing. We are saved in order to serve, not just sit around and wait for heaven. Did you know that in the early days there were a lot of disciples and followers of Christ that thought that his return was imminent? So what they did, they just sat down. And they were waiting. And Paul, you know, they wouldn't even work. Paul says, if you don't work, you don't eat, you know. I mean, God tells us to occupy till he comes. That is, there's a work for us to do every day. Our feet ought to hit the ground. Our motor ought to be running. And we ought to understand this is the day the Lord has made. I need to go out and make a difference for him. I am his representative. Amen. I am his servant. God help me to make a difference for him. Have you ever wondered why God doesn't immediately take us to heaven when we get saved? You know, I've thought that, you know, when folks come down and get saved, some of them, you know, have a tendency to back out before they almost get in. Why don't we just shoot them? You know, let them go on to heaven, not take a chance. Now, you know I'm kidding. But I still got Bill's six-shooter up here. No, I'm teasing. Why does God leave us here? He leaves us here to make a difference, doesn't he? That's why he leaves us here. He wants the world to be saved. We're his arms. We're his feet. We're his mouth. And we need to make a difference for the cause of Christ. You were called to serve God. Growing up, you may have thought that being called by God to be something like a missionary or a preacher or some other full-time church worker, that was the only ones God called. But the truth of the matter is all of us are called to service according to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through 14. Regardless of your job or career. Now, I know all you got to work. You got to make a living. You got to provide for your family. If you don't, you're worse than an infidel. But you may be in full-time service for the Lord at the same time you're doing your work. You know, it's kind of like the guy said, I work at my job to pay expenses so I can serve the Lord. That's a good philosophy to live by. Bible said he saved us and he called us to be his own people, not because of what we have done, but because of his own purpose. Peter tells us you were chosen to tell about the excellent qualities of God. Anytime you use God, the abilities that God has given you in helping others, you're fulfilling that calling. One reason why you need to be connected to a church family is to fulfill your calling to serve other believers in a very practical way. The Bible said all of you together are God's body, and each one of you is a separate and necessary part of it. Now the service, your service, is desperately needed in the body of Christ. All you've got to do is just ask any local church or pastor how important it is that people get involved in the work of the church. Do you know that a national statistic says this? There are, in every church almost, 20% of the membership that do all the work. 20%. I know that's not true here. We may have 21. No. I'm teasing with you. But all of us need to get involved in the work of the church. There are no insignificant ministries in the church. I don't know about you. Well, let me just tell you this story before I say what I'm going to say. When I was pastoring in Star City, now a lot of those guys, they had coon dogs. And they would go coon hunting at night. You know, they'd love to run their dogs. And they'd be out there barking, and they'd tell, that's old, you know, call his name. And then another one bark, and they knew the names of these dogs. They could tell by their bark. Well, this one fella that was a member of the church, he went out coon hunting with his friends, and he came back in. And anyway, he thought he'd just slip in the house, and, you know, they didn't have any night lights back then, or at least he didn't have any, and it was pitch dark. He came into his house, and he wasn't going to wake up the family or the wife, so he got in there, and he slipped his clothes off, put his PJs on. He went over to the bed, and he sat down. What he didn't know is that Mama had moved the bed around. He hit the floor with a thud, and naturally woke up the whole house. But you know, sometimes the most important light that we've got in our house is that little night light. Now, I'm going to tell you, we have one in our house. Have you ever stubbed your toe because it was dark when you got up during the night? That night light's important. That big old chandelier may be, nice to look at, but sometimes it's that little thing that makes the difference. And that's the way it is in ministry. Every job, every work, everything that we do is important. And sometimes it's the little things that are the most significant in the church. So whatever you do, be faithful. What happens when one part of the body doesn't function? We changed doctors because he left and retired and got Dr. Landers. And most thorough guy, I thought Keation was thorough, but Landers is really thorough, and he's put me through tests and going to put Virginia through tests. But you know what would happen if your heart decided, I'm going to take a break. I'm tired. I've been working night and day for all these years. It's time that I got a break. What would happen? You'd die. You know, I mean, you literally would die. And so what we need to understand this morning is that every church needs to be involved and not sit on the sidelines, but get involved in the work of God. Kind of reminds me of Bud Wilkerson. I've shared this a few times, but I think it's apropos for now. But when he stopped coaching the University of Oklahoma, and didn't they do an awful job last night? Anyway, Ronnie texted me last night. I didn't know who it was, but Ronnie texted me. He fessed up this morning. He said, I guess you're watching the Oklahoma game, and I was. He said, do you think we ought to start the prayer chain? I texted him back, and I said, I think it's too late. Well, Bud Wilkerson, that's where I was at. But he became the president's advisor on physical fitness, and they asked him, a reporter one day, how do you define the game of football? And he said, well, I define it like this. There are 22 players out there on the field who desperately need rest. And there are 50,000 fans in the stadium who desperately need exercise. And that's the church. You know, it's good to come into the house of God. You don't sit in those padded pews. You've got air conditioning. Some of you are shriveling up. Some of you are fanning. I can't make you all happy at the same time. But, you know, you can come into the house of God and sit down and just feel good, you know. Man, this is nice. And you can go out and shake the preacher's hand and say, preacher, that was a good message. That was a good service. And God bless you and all of that. And don't do anything for the call to Christ that whole week. Is that what God called us to do? I think he wants us to get up and get out among them and try to reach folks for the cause of Christ. Let me give you an illustration. I'm going to skip some of the message because I know that you're conscious of time. I've seen some of you. No, I'm teasing. You know, this is one of those days. Tony Evans, preacher down in the Dallas area, he made this, gave us this illustration. He said, one day I was battling a cold. I couldn't shake it. So I called my doctor and told him my symptoms, and he told me I didn't need to come in. He was going to call in a prescription for me. He told me what medicine he was prescribing, how he wanted me to take it. Now, a number of things went into motion. First of all, I had to believe that I was talking to the person I thought I was talking to because I couldn't see him. It was just a conversation over the phone, so I had to listen to his voice. And I listened to his voice, and he told me how to fix my problem. Now, I could have just laid there in bed and meditated. I could have believed him, but stayed in bed thinking about how good it was that I had a good doctor who understood my problem, provided me with a solution. I could have just laid there thinking how great it was that I had a solution. But all that lying around and thinking about the good words that the good doctor shared with me wouldn't make me better. It may have given me some warm fuzzies, he said, because he talked to me, but I'd still be sick as a dog. Guess what I had to do? He said, I had to get up out of my bed and get into my car, drive to Walgreens, and say to the pharmacist, do you have a prescription with my name on it? There's a lot of medicines in there, so I needed something with my name on it. I needed something that was not generic, but was personal to me. The doctor told me it would be there, and because I believed his word, I acted on it. I went to Walgreens. Now, taking this illustration just a little farther, he said, I could have received the medicine and looked at it. I could have gazed at it and made sure that it looked medicinally acceptable to me, but I'd still be sick as a dog. The doctor's instructions were not for me just to drive to Walgreens and get emotionally fixated on the look of the medicine. He told me to take it. And by following his instructions to the T, my faith was matching up with my work. And he said, I began to feel much, much better. Now, a lot of folks are spiritually sick. And every week they come into the house of God and they hear what the doctor's got to say. Some of us stop there and just think about how good it was for us to talk to him. Some of us leave church feeling good about how great the prescription sounds, but still sick as a spiritual dog because we don't take it, we don't ingest it by acting on it. Therefore, we leave the same way we came in, not transformed. Isn't that the way it is? I've always wondered how in the world can people just sit there, lost in their sins, are backslidden, how can they just sit there Sunday after Sunday, hear the gospel preached, know it's true, I need to act on it, but they leave the church every Sunday and don't do it. I'm telling you, that's a dangerous thing to do. God has called us to a life of service, every one of us. You can go out feeling good about the fact that I'm a soldier in the Lord's army. The kids used to sing, you know, I'm a soldier in the Lord's army. And God wants to use me. I'm going to tell you, if that doesn't give you some fuzzies, warm fuzzies, I don't know what will. God wants to use you. God wants to use you and me to make a difference. And when we stand before him, you know, won't it be nice that we can bring trophies with us of those folks that we've led to the Lord? And the Lord says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many. Get up and go to work, he says today, that we might hear those good words. Let's bow for prayer.